call today. This is so great to have you. I wanted to get started in asking you, how did you get started in this, and do you consider yourself an internet marketer?
I sure do. Gosh, if I were to go way back when I was playing around with computers when I was 12 years old, writing programs for my dad's music.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I always had a fascination and a great deal of competency around computers. And so in 99, I started internet marketing and building websites and email lists. I got some training as a copywriter, and I created quite a few information products, and I offered a lot of virtual programs through the internet. In addition, I've always had a fascination with relationships and people. I've studied personality assessments and those psychometric tests and whatnot to really understand human psychology and motivation. And I actually was, for many, many years, I wore two hats. So I was doing internet marketing. In addition, I was selling information products. In addition, I was a relationship coach, and I used to work quite a bit with singles and couples, predominantly in the personal relationship field, and then migrated over into more professional relationships and merging those two worlds together, professional relationships and internet marketing and professional networking. And I was fortunate to be a coach for T. Harv Eker for a couple of years. I know you've done some of his programs. We're both fellow Harv enthusiasts. It was in July of 07 that I first got involved with Facebook, and I was familiar with social networks. I was on MySpace and LinkedIn and places like that, not really that active at all. But it was as if this perfect opening happened for my personality type in particular, and my skills and passions with having the two hats of internet marketing and the relationship coaching, professional relationships as well as personal. And that's where I got started being a Facebook expert, actually, very, very quickly. I became such an enthusiast, really, really understood it, rolled up my sleeves, got into the trenches, understood all of the mechanics of the system, the technical how-to, but also the strategic aspect of it, because the emphasis on social networks, we'll probably get into this in a little more detail, is really on relationships. We have to think social first. If you go in there and you try to do your traditional internet marketing, people will actually be turned off. And so it's really the emphasis is on a lot of it appears perhaps to the outsider. It could appear like idle chit-chat, but that chit-chat results in very profitable relationships ultimately. So that's really what I teach in my different classes and programs. And very quickly, many of my peers were saying to me, what is Facebook? I don't understand it. Is it MySpace for adults? How do I use it? And a lot of my services grew actually out of those questions from my peers and professional colleagues and community.
So that's how you got going in social media marketing.
That's right. Yeah, it was just like the perfect marriage, like I say, between my skills and passions, which I always felt like these two disparate hats, and all of a sudden I could combine those two hats into one.
Great. Well, what is Facebook exactly? Can you explain it to us in simple terms?
Yeah, of course. Facebook themselves, they call their platform a social utility or a social networking platform, if you will, but even sometimes that doesn't fully answer the question, and sometimes people say one of the words is redundant because networking is by its very nature there's social, but there is professional networking, there's so more social networking, and the way that I like to describe Facebook is I really distill it down into simple terms. And if we think of a Facebook being a place where you can interact and sustain relationships that you already have, whether it's with personal friends, family members, extended family, people you might have gone to school with, and your clients, potential clients, things like that, people that you actually know, I should say. And the other category is people you do not know yet. So Facebook allows this unprecedented opportunity to reach out and build a significant community that are targeted, that are essentially people that would make good clients for you or good joint venture partners, strategic alliances, things like that, because of the vast amount of information that people share on their profiles and their different activities. And you can observe, you can be like a fly on the wall and observe people's behaviors and actions that they take, that then you get a much better sense of who they are and if you want to reach out and connect with them on a deeper basis. So that's really how I boil down Facebook into these two arenas where you get to sustain and maintain relationships you already have in a very efficient manner, and also to reach out and connect with new people that you don't know yet in a very targeted fashion.
Why is it growing so fast? I mean, it seems to be experiencing so much growth.
You're absolutely right. And I think the founder and CEO, Mark Zuckerberg, he started it back in 2004 right out of Harvard, in fact, with a couple of colleagues. And they dropped out. They dropped right out of Harvard to go and run the business full-time because it became so successful. Now, initially, it was only available to Harvard students. And then from there, they went out to many other Ivy League colleges and whatnot. And from there, they expanded to schools and different universities, and from there, expanded out to workplaces. You had to be an employee of a large organization. Then, it was only a couple of years ago when they actually, maybe about 18 months ago now, they opened their doors to the general public. And so they'd already had a great proven model and a nice, clean platform, a lot of white space, an easy interface to use. And they're pretty vigilant about their terms of use. Like when you sign up, you can only have one account, no fake or duplicate, or you know, it has to be in your own personal name, not a company name or a pen name or anything like that, your own name. These are all terms of use that they're pretty firm about enforcing. And then really what became the latest gold rush, which is just incredible, is they opened up their platform, their API, their developers platform, to allow these programmers or developers to come in and create what's sometimes called widgets or gadgets, essentially applications. Now, the easiest way to think about that is if you have an operating system, if you're on a PC, it would be Windows XP or Windows Vista, and then that's the operating system, like Facebook is the platform, and then on top of that, you have like Outlook and PowerPoint and Word and Excel, and those are all like your applications that run on top. That's the easiest way to describe it. So now there's actually tens of thousands of these third-party applications, and it became very quickly like the latest gold rush. There's just incredible momentum. Everybody's talking about it. Everybody's rushing over to see if they can make some money by creating an application and getting a lot of people on Facebook to install that application. Also, and by the way, there's very, very few applications in my experience that have actually proven to be valuable, that they add value to your business day. Most of them are really quite frivolous. You'll find that people want to throw sheep at you, give you a vampire bite, send you a cupcake, I mean, just frivolous things like that, which is fun for certain people, maybe on Facebook for more personal reasons. My recommendation is if you're on Facebook for business reasons, professional reasons, you pretty much want to make best friends with a button in there that's called ignore all. You just hit that ignore all. You can glance through your different invitations and accept friend requests, but then just go ahead and ignore all the application invitations. But another aspect to consider is because Facebook grew out of the college arena, most people are professionals, that more people have college degrees on Facebook than, say, likes of MySpace, that's a little bit better educated. The average age is 25 and above. Actually, some studies I've seen show 35 and above, but we do have a lot of 20-somethings on there, right up to, you know, your baby boomers. In fact, I saw a report the other day, the oldest person on Facebook was like 102 years old.
Wow.
Isn't that funny? Yeah. And they have money. You know, a lot of people have money on Facebook, so it just became really, they reached critical mass pretty fast, and then all of these components tied together have made it just very, very popular.
Why do you think it is important for business owners and professionals to participate in social networking?
Well, you know, really the marketplace has changed significantly. It used to be Web 1.0. We think of Web 1.0. Back in the day, it's like you had to have a website, and usually it could just your page with, you know, some contact information, very flat, very one-way, no way to interact with that site, kind of like sitting watching television. And then Web 2.0 comes along and it changes that forever. It's now more two-way. It's conversational. There's dialogue going on. And blogs are a great example of that. So you can have a blog and people can come and interact with you in the way of writing comments. And then you also have social networks, and there's many of them been around for many years, like LinkedIn and MySpace, Rise, all kinds of names, Ning. Beeble. There's just a lot of networks, and there's more and more and more springing up. And what we're going to actually see, it's already started quite significantly, is niche social networks. So for specific industries, for specific demographics, but still, Facebook is just seems to be the granddaddy of them all. And so social networks is really the ultimate platform, if you will, or medium through which you can create that interaction. You can listen, you can observe, you can be a fly on the wall, you can tap into trends and watch what your customers are saying and monitor what they're saying about your products and services. You can see where their pains and their problems are and develop new products and services specifically to meet their needs. And so all of this is really in the Web 2.0 world. And really what I usually say is that you either get involved or you're going to get left behind. It's just as simple as that. Essentially, it's like, you know, back in the day, well, the 80s, if you didn't have a fax machine, that you were kind of the odd one out. If you didn't have a computer, if you didn't have an email address or a cell phone, all of these things have come in to be a part of our daily lives. And I believe that social networks will really become an integral part of most businesses. In particular, Facebook is just becoming more part of the regular business conversation. People are like, oh, are you on Facebook? here's my profile. And I usually like to say it's not absolutely 100% for everyone. You do have to have a willingness to be a little more transparent than you might be in sharing maybe a little bit more of your personal life, and such that people can get a more holistic sense of who you are. And when I say personal life, that might be just like putting up pictures of, you know, a vacation you took with your kids or some travels that you do. But at the same time, you can still maintain a private life for sure. You don't have to be completely. In fact, I call it strategic transparency. So you're very strategic with what you share, such that your marketplace is getting a better sense of who you are as a person. But you can still close the door at night and know that you're protected. And there's ways in Facebook you can actually set and tweak your privacy settings and practically be invisible if you want. Actually, I helped my own mother when she joined Facebook to be pretty much invisible. She's only wanted to be on there to connect with her daughters, and so that's fine for people who want to do that.
Hmm. For a business, how do they use Facebook to make money? Like, where does the money come from?
Okay. I'm glad you're asking this, Bridget, because it's a question that comes quite a lot to me by most of my new clients and new students, and they're like, okay, how do I make money on Facebook?
Mm-hmm.
And I usually say to people, okay, let's press the pause button on that question, because what I want to do first is find out a little more about your business. What is your revenue model right now, your profit model? What products and services do you offer that could actually be marketed, quote unquote, or even just talked about and presented in a more organic, natural fashion on Facebook? So Facebook, if you think of it more as one of the many mediums or tools in your toolbox through which you can market, included might be radio interviews and buying ads, Google AdWords, teleclasses, different things, writing articles, leading teleclasses, I think I said that. And so Facebook is just another aspect, another piece of the bigger pie, if you will. Now, for people who are a little more in a hurry, let's say, or that they're starting with not a whole lot to move forward, they're just getting into internet marketing, let's say. In fact, you don't even have to be an internet marketer, because let's say you're a local restaurant and you want to drive more patrons to your local restaurant. You can actually use Facebook for that as a terrific medium. And again, with this aspect of being able to engage your customers and be in conversation with them, you can set up a Facebook group. You can have what they call a fan page. You could actually choose to have your personal profile very much for your private life and use the groups feature, the events feature, and the pages, which is they call them fan pages. So all of these...
What is a fan page? Like, what do you collect on there?
You collect fans, seriously, you do. It's interesting, at time of this interview here today, Barack Obama has the most fans. You can only have 5,000 friends on your personal profile. 5,000 friends, they limit that. But with your fan page, you can have unlimited fans. And right now, Barack Obama is leading the way with about 1.4 million fans, and then you can drill on down there. Actually, Michael Phelps, the Olympic swimmer, he's the second most popular Facebook page. It's really quite fun to go in there and look at some of the activities that go on. And so that's just all part of the free service. It's really quite powerful. But just to complete the thought on the money part of it there, Bridget, you were asking that we were saying if someone comes along and they're just new, you could always be an affiliate. You can actually have affiliate products that you would want to build out your friend list, start a group, perhaps start a page as well, and create a following, create a personal following. That, and what I mean by that is, so the information that you share, you get known as someone who adds value, someone who is willing to help and to give tips and advice and share resources and things like that. Now, I appreciate this does take time. Nonetheless, I actually share with my clients that they can effectively use Facebook in about 5 minutes a day to get some good mileage out of it, some good presence, build their list, get paying clients, and perhaps delegate some of the management over to a virtual assistant or a staff member. And some of those things might be in a group. You can have someone moderating your group and just make sure that everything that's posted is appropriate, things like that. You could also run like a free event, a teleclass, and drive people to that. You can buy social ads, which is very similar to Google AdWords, and you can drive people to a specific event. It's a great way to build your list, in fact.
What do you use the event page for? You mentioned that earlier.
Yeah, that would be if I'm doing any kind of a joint venture or an interview, a teleclass, a live in-person event. If you think of anything from the whole broad range of virtual event, webinar, teleclass, telesummit, right through to a physical multi-day seminar, literally, or a social event. I think initially the events feature application is one of the default Facebook applications. It was designed a little more for social because some of the categories that they had was more, you know, like birthday parties and things like that. But now it's really expanded, and it's just one of the most powerful features, in my opinion, because one of the unique features about Facebook is they have this feed. They call it a news feed, which is an aggregate of all the activities that your friends are up to. So one of the keys is to have a lot of visibility in that news feed. And if you're doing an event, every time someone adds a photo or a video or writes on your wall, adds a link to your event page, that gets pushed out into the feeds of their friends. Therefore, you're creating what I call viral visibility. All of a sudden, people are like, oh my gosh, that's like the third time today that I've seen this event that Mari's doing. I better go and check out what it is. So there's that's what I'm talking about with the strategy behind it. Yeah.
Well, another question I have for you is, how do you decide whether to accept a friend or not?
Yeah, this is an interesting area because as of time of our chat here today, Bridget, we basically, Facebook have just crossed the 100 million member mark. And so what I always recommend to people, that is an awful lot of people. And you know what? It is a microcosm of the macro. There's some people on Facebook that are a little nuts, and you probably want to avoid them.
I can imagine.
yeah, there's spammers. There's people who are inappropriate. There's people maybe don't resonate with yours. And so I really recommend to people that they're quite careful about who they decide to add as a friend. And some of my criteria are I'm very vigilant about having a picture, and that's one of my blog posts recently. It's called Facebook for a Reason, and I really like to make friends with people that have a picture of their face and not a picture of their car or their business logo or, I mean, some really inappropriate photograph. That just is an instant no-no for me. I like to see that we have a certain number of mutual friends, unless someone's really quite new to Facebook and I know them already, or they've connected through Twitter, the microblogging site, or my blog, or some way they've met me, then that's okay if we don't have that many mutual friends yet. I do particularly like it when they include a personal message. There's a place that you can just click to add personal message when you're reaching out to friend someone, and it just really makes a big difference if someone takes a minute to say, you know, hey, I saw you on your blog, or I'm following you on Twitter, or I met you at such and such event, and I'd like to connect with you on Facebook. And then I pretty much accept, you know, about 95% of my incoming friend requests. And what you can then do is if someone just, they write something inappropriate on your wall, or they have something in their status update that just seems a little weird, or they send you an email that's sent to multiple other recipients. You can only send emails to up to 20 people at a time, fortunately. So the spam's kept under control. But in other words, what I'm saying is if someone just misbehaves in your opinion, you can simply go and remove them as a friend. They don't actually get a notification. Not going to say, you know, Bridget just removed you as a friend. They're not going to know.
That's good. We'll have that privacy then.
You can just kind of discreetly let them go. And unless there's someone who is really super eager to connect with you and they're going looking to find your profile, then most people won't even notice that you've just slipped them out of your network.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great. At least now we know a little bit about how Facebook works. And I'm really curious, too, for you, what do you do every day? Where do you spend your time as an internet marketer and in creating income in your life?
Well, the bulk of my income comes from a couple different sources. One is actually delivering private trainings that I do for my clients. We do that in my webinar room. I also have group trainings where I do a small gathering and we do through the internet and through webinars. Because right now I live a completely mobile lifestyle, traveling around the country in a motorhome, and so it just works well for me and my lifestyle to do everything virtual. I will be doing some more in-person events at some point later this year, early next year.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where they have like a Facebook masterclass, it's called, and we usually have about 12 students in there with the webinar. And then the other source is joint ventures, and that's what I've found that Facebook has been extremely powerful for, is being able to reach out and connect with highly successful internet marketers, authors, speakers, trainers, coaches, even celebrities, actors, singers, you name it. They're all on Facebook, or they're getting set up. If they're coming on board in droves, and so Facebook is giving us this unprecedented opportunity to reach out and connect with these people that we might never have been able to reach before. In fact, I conducted a whole bunch of interviews myself last fall, and some, like a multimillionaire internet marketer, he's saying to me, you know, Mari, we would not be having this conversation if you tried to reach me any other way, because he said all his emails and his voicemails are all filtered through several assistants, and he just really only gets to see a tiny small portion. So that was a huge testament to me. And what I found that is that I have my email list, but typically my social network community through Facebook and through Twitter, which I use pretty much in harmony and concert with each other, they're very, very responsive. If I'm doing an event and I'm promoting someone else, let's say, recently did a huge joint venture that yielded multiple thousands of dollars, it was really very, very exciting, because there's this interesting thing that happens. We're saying about how social media and Web 2.0 is really changing the way we do business. It's changing the way we market. And you know how we always talk about how people do business with people that they know, like, and trust. And so
mm-hmm.
with social networks, Facebook, and then you add into that Twitter, which is this, it's almost like public instant messaging, but it's also, they call it microblogging, and you can push out your small chunks of information about what you're doing, but very strategically. And so people start to build up this knowing, liking, and trusting of you, such that when you go to promote something, it's very organic, it's very natural. I wouldn't do something like, oh, come on, sign up for this event now, and be like commanding. That's not necessarily my style, but I would be excited. You know, I use all these fun little icons and expressions of enthusiasm, and I'll be talking about a certain individual that I highly recommend, and lo and behold, people will sign up for the call and sign up for the programs and things like that, that I'm offering with my joint venture partners. So that's proven extremely lucrative in that way.
Interesting. If I was just sitting here thinking, if I wanted to learn how to create a strategic plan for my business, like a marketing plan on how to use Facebook or even Twitter and the other things, like how would I go about that? You teach that in your classes, right?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. And it just really depends. If someone is, I have several different ways that people can get the information. One would be self-study. I have a program called Facebook for Professionals. Actually, I'm going to be changing that to Social Marketing for Professionals, because there's more to it than Facebook. I do.
Is there a website for that?
Yeah, that one is actually socialmarketingforprofessionals.com. All
okay.
Filled out in full.
All right.
Yeah. at Social Marketing for Professionals, and that is a multimedia self-study course. There's 250-page e-books, there's video tutorials, audio MP3s of interviews I've conducted, things like that. And then there's a forum. They get lifetime updates, and it's just a very powerful medium through which people can get the information at a much lower price point than if they were to work with me directly. The next level up is that they could do a couple things. To work with me directly, they can go to facebookcoach.com, and at facebookcoach.com I outline the different packages that I have, and usually we tailor that, customize it. Most people do three sessions, three 90-minute sessions, and that's a wonderful crash course, and we include the whole social media marketing plan and strategy and how to roll that out, implement it, really customized to the individual in whatever industry they're in, and how to build out their network and their following and to monetize it, of course, most importantly. And then I do have my master class, which I conduct several times a year. I mentioned that. That's a small group training with a webinar format, and that's just at facebookmasterclass.com.
That's great. How do you manage those websites? Or they are offering information, and when someone goes there, they can just read about it and then contact you? Or do you have to constantly be maintaining them?
There's not a whole lot of maintenance. I actually have chosen to use a platform called podclass.com, and they are also a Facebook application. So all of my materials are on there. Essentially, it's like a membership program. And so all the materials are there, and I simply have, like, my socialmarketingforprofessionals.com, and that forwards to the sign-up page for that particular program.
Hmm.
And then, but there's not a whole lot of management. So then I use, like, a One Shopping Cart is a terrific platform that allows you to take credit cards online, to have autoresponders, do email broadcasts. You might be familiar with it, but I use the Kickstart card. If I like that particular version, it's a private label. And so then I have on my blog, I write a blog about Facebook. It's called Why Facebook, W-H-Y, like why should I be on Facebook, whyfacebook.com.
Okay.
And people can go there and get a 7-day e-course. It has 7 specific marketing tips for Facebook. And that is through, like, my One Shopping Cart. So it's totally automated. People go and they sign up for it, and they go into my system, and it triggers every day an email with the tips. And then also I use that same system, the Kickstart Cart, so if someone was to place an order with me, then I would get a notification about that. And actually how with the Facebook for Professionals or Social Marketing for Professionals, along with all the materials, then I actually offer a free strategy session. And during that strategy session, I discuss the different needs and goals of my client, my potential client, and then we work out to see if there's a good fit for how we might work together.
Oh, that sounds great. So it sounds like you don't even have a lot of team members, meaning people who work for you or outsource your material. It sounds like you pretty much do it yourself, or do you have a lot of other people who work with you?
Yeah, you know, that's really actually music to my ears was when I actually thought to get my business to the $500,000 to $2 million mark that I would probably have to be hiring employees and stuff like that. But much to my delight, what I found out about a year ago now is that I could grow my business significantly by offering big-ticket items, by raising my prices dramatically, raising my hourly rates. Actually, I don't tend to sell my time by the hour, but I do the three-pack of the training, private training, or I'll go and actually fly out to the customer and do some high-end consulting with them. But then also the big ticket item we talked about was the masterclass, the Facebook masterclass, and I limit the numbers intentionally, 50 or 100 people in the class. We're only working with 10 to 12 people at a bigger price point because they get so much value and one hands-on support for their business. And so I do have staff members. I have, but they're all independent contractors and self-employed, and I have a virtual assistant that she primarily manages my email on Facebook because I get that. So right now I have, I'm getting pretty close to that 5,000 limit. I got well over 4,000 friends, and just one of the natures of Facebook is the more friends you have, the more email you're going to have, and so I do have her managing that for me best she can. And then I have someone who does all my graphics. I had my marismith.com is actually another site that I have, my primary site. And that, well, I had that all completely professionally designed. And I have someone that does my membership. I'm actually I have a membership program that I'm getting set up too. And then she's
like a membership site.
Yeah.
Where we would pay a monthly fee and be able to have access to all different information like that.
Exactly. And in actual fact, that's what I'm moving my social marketing for professionals more into a monthly membership. When I chunk down the materials, there's just so much materials it can actually be overwhelming when you first come in. But they're going to be what I'm moving towards right now is one fee for lifetime membership, so they just never pay anything again. You get all grandfathered in with all the updates. Or if it's just easier in the pocketbook and easier for people to just study it in more paced fashion, and then they could have the modules, monthly modules and access to classes and for a monthly fee. So that's all getting set up. What I tend to do is when I have specific project, I'll reach out to my community, and I have some terrific marketing and administrative professionals that are on my team, and they will just take on a project. And that way, that when you're an internet marketer, you can grow a significant business by not necessarily doing everything yourself. I don't recommend that unless you're, you know, specifically talented in all these areas. But then even so, you just really should be focusing on where you make the most money. Because, I mentioned earlier that I design websites. I know Dreamweaver. I know how to set up, all the programming, HTML. But that doesn't mean that's a good use of my time. My time is much better used delivering my services and doing speaking and trainings and things like that.
Do you have an opinion on how fast, if I started online, how fast could I make money? Like in 6 months? Or do you think there is a time frame? And then I guess I'll add on to that. Like, do you have a way that someone can move from making $50,000 a year to $100,000 or to $1 million a year? What's
great
your thought?
Questions. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so the first part of the question is how fast someone can make money. It really depends on how much of an action taker they are, how much of an implementer, how well they're going to follow a proven system. I think people go out and try to reinvent the wheel and go off and create their own social network or something like that, or their own products that there isn't such a great need for. The thing is that most people will pay more money to learn how to run their business and make more money. It's simple as that, whereas it's a little bit tougher to sell products and services where there isn't such a great need, and that's always an area that people might want to do a little bit work on, and how to position and market themselves well such that they're tapping into where the greatest need is, the greatest problems are that they can provide solutions for. So you're saying, 6 months. I mean, seriously, if someone has some information products or even physical products, or they do speaking engagements, or let's say that they have significant expertise already established offline. So they're in National Speakers Association. They've been doing speaking engagements. They have products. They could come on to Facebook and Twitter and have a blog, and in a very short period of time, I'll bet you in actually more a matter of weeks than months, they really know what they're doing, and especially if they were working with me. Well, I get people, people are coming to me and they're like, okay, Mari, I'm ready, I'm eager, let's do it. Then we will actually do a fast track, which is like a 90-minute session once a week for 3 weeks in a row, and they will just absolutely hit the ground running. But if someone wants to go more paced, just a more moderate pace, and then it could be more like three months, maybe 6 months. And that's the thing that Facebook are really rigorous about, not what they call growing too fast. They have limitations. You can't really go onto Facebook and all of a sudden you have, 2,000 friends overnight. They will, unfortunately, deactivate your account if you try to do that. But again, it's a great area, to be perfectly frank. It just depends, because there's a wonderful internet marketer, John Reese. He actually had 5,000 friends within 5 days. And what he did is he has a huge email list, wrote out to his email list, connected with a few other big influencers, and lo and behold, got up to that 5,000 friend limit within 5 days. Now, Facebook didn't bat an eyelid, and it may well be that he had forewarned them he was going to do that, or because what he was doing essentially is bringing in a lot of new members. He wasn't going in and trying to, get 5,000 people who are already on Facebook to become his friend, and so I think that's really a strategy there. So if you already have a list, I would say, go ahead and send an email out to your list and say, come and be my friend on Facebook, and then that way they can actually, and follow me on Twitter, you can actually do that. And then people get a chance to build up more intimacy two-way. You know, they build intimacy with you, you build intimacy with them, you find out a lot more about them, find out when their birthdays are, you get knowledge of their birthday, things like that, special occasions. And so you could probably build up quite a following within, like I say, maybe like 3 or 4 weeks. You can build up quite a following much quicker on Twitter and then migrate some of those over to Facebook. Now, the second part of your question, really, how to move from making, if someone's kind of in a holding pattern where their income is pretty much in that, like you're saying, 50 to 100, they want to get up to 1 million. One of the most powerful ways to do that is to start offering what are called big ticket items, and that would be small group trainings with a high price point, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, even $10,000. And or to do high-end consulting and training. And that was a big shift that I made myself that made a profound difference to my lifestyle and also to my income, was I used to do a vast amount of service delivery. I would actually manage things for my client. I would be the one getting in there and doing helping them build their list and set up their card and autoresponders and finding joint venture partners for them and just essentially doing all the management and the micromanagement. And it just, I could, even no matter how high I raised my rates, there wasn't enough time in the day to service clients like that. I could only take on so many. So shifting to more of a training and consulting role where you are empowering your clients to do their own work or to build up their own team to do the work, because your time is just too valuable. And so that's what I do. And I'll do the high-end consulting by phone for a certain fee. I will fly out to my clients and sit by their side for a couple of days and just basically download my brain to theirs.
Well, you're enabling them for a lifetime. You're being a fantastic mentor. And the thing that I really hear is you're an expert at this and you have the knowledge about all of this social media. So it makes it worthwhile for someone to pay the money to get your expertise and to have you as a mentor instead of stumbling around trying to figure it all out themselves. For it'll take them 5 times as long, 10 times as long, I'm sure, because you know all the details behind it and you've done it so many times.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Yeah. And that's really what I help my clients to see, is that they can waste quite a bit of time and energy and even money, you know, doing themselves or doing it the slow way, or we can just simply set up the whole system and strategy where they're, you know, as soon as I finish working with them, whether it's 3 sessions, 5 sessions, or a 2-day straight stint, that they're absolutely empowered to continue on and grow a significant revenue.
Mari, do you still use email, like send out emails periodically to a list, or use a blog, or have you put that aside and just basically using Facebook?
No, I'm glad this is coming out, because this is really important to know that Facebook is another medium. I use email. I have an opt-in list. I have multiple places that people can sign into that list. I mentioned about the seven-day e-course of Facebook marketing tips over on Why Facebook. On my MauriSmith.com site, I have a new e-course there. It's 21 Days to Profitable Relationships, so people can go ahead and pick up a copy of that.
What kind of relationships do you mean? Like in husband-wife or in...
No, profitable relationships. So it's really how to build and maintain your relationships with your clients and your potential joint venture, strategic alliances, how really to take social marketing and profit from it. So I call it profitable relationships.
And what site was that?
That's at MauriSmith.com. Yeah.
Oh, that sounds great.
So, Yeah. And so what they all feed into is that Kickstart cart system, my main email system. And so then I don't actually write a regular e-zine, but I do write 3 blogs. I have my Why Facebook, MauriSmith.com. I write predominantly about relationship marketing. And then I have with my travels that I do, I actually have a site I write about my travels and put up pictures and tales. And that's at BeFreeGoMobile.com.
That's great. Well, I love watching your pictures of all the different places you're at. And even earlier in this call, we heard the train going by in the background. So it's fascinating.
I thought you might hear that. Yeah, I'm in a little place called Lava Hot Springs in Idaho right now. Yeah, it's quite lovely.
That's great. Do you think that all the money is in the list and that that's what really matters?
Yeah, this is another powerful question, and it's something that's really been hammered home by a lot of big internet marketers. It's partially true. The list is extremely important. What's just as important, even more important, is your relationship with that list, how you interact with them, the response rate that you get from them. So it's not necessarily size. If I've done JVs in the past, joint ventures, where someone with a list of 500 has yielded more profits, more response, more conversions, more signups than someone with a list of 10,000. Because that person with the list of 10,000, they keep hammering their list, they're always doing offers, and they're not even looking at their metrics. It might be that half the people are not even getting the emails. They're going into the spam box, or they're not opening them. They're just deleting them. They're not bothering to unsubscribe. So it's really important to grow your list, but to nurture it and to observe and monitor your metrics to see how many people are opening up and how many people are clicking through. And you can do link tracking or click tracking. And mm-hmm. So that's just as important. But now, if we add on the social networking aspect through both Facebook and Twitter, one of your objectives is to have your community migrate over into your email list. Like, and ways to do that are in your little mini Twitter bio. You can talk about where people can go and get a free gift from you, like those things, my Facebook marketing tips. And so once people do that, they're in my list. And so now they're on my list, but they can also continue to interact with me through Facebook and Twitter. So,
that's interesting.
Yeah, for sure. And it's actually a really powerful way to build out that list, is just to continue to strategically add friends and find interesting people to follow on Twitter. It's one of the best ways to actually get more followers is for you to follow more people, and then the vast majority of people will follow you back. But ideally, you want people that are within your target market who may well fit your profile of an ideal client, or someone who is just willing to become your evangelist and will refer people to you. In fact, on that note, I've heard it said that we're moving from the information age into the age of recommendation. And so how do you get recommended? And one of the ways, obviously, is to deliver stellar customer service, to have good quality products and services, but also to be out there and to be seen and having that authentic voice, that congruent and consistent voice that's really clear of who you are and what you stand for and your message, and to also be transparent to a certain degree with, I mentioned, strategic transparency. So you're sharing enough of your life that people really get a sense of who you are. Actually, one of the powerful ways of the powerful side benefits of that is when you do meet people in person, like at seminars or conventions, events, that you often find you have already created what I call virtual rapport, such that these people are just, they really are like your long-lost friends, and the only thing that remains to be done is to meet them in person.
Well, I met you at a seminar, and I'm so thrilled because if you wouldn't have talked to me and even just a little bit, I would never have even bothered to sign up on Facebook and see how powerful that it could be. And even on Twitter, I've signed up for that. So it's been a whole introduction to a new life, but an exciting one and very interesting one. And I really value all of the information that you have and you keep passing along too through your Twitter or Facebook. You really do pass along a lot of free information that can help people, and I really appreciate that.
Oh, gosh, my pleasure. I'm very, very happy to do that. In fact, I had gotten written up in Fast Company, fastcompany.com, and their blog, and they dubbed me the Pied Piper of Facebook, which I find kind of amusing because I'm known in the offline world to turn people into converts. You know, are you on Facebook? And they're like, tell me, why should I be on Facebook? The next thing you know, they're on and they're using it well. But then not only that, that's the whole piece about having a great following in Facebook and Twitter, is that when you are up to things, when you do have something to promote or message to get out there, that people do actually follow it. That's part of what I teach my clients and students is to create that similar Pied Piper-ness.
Okay, that's great. Well, why do you think that some people online make a lot of money and some people don't? Do you think there's a particular reason for that?
I do, and the one absolute key component to online success, you could say it's offline as well, is persistence. And I think that people tend to give up too easily. And I also think another aspect is focus. I think that people lose their focus. They try something for a little while. Their list is kind of sort of growing. They made maybe a few sales, and they get disillusioned. And so they go off and try something else. But it's, you really have to stick with something that lights you up, that's your passion. Actually, on that note, what I really enjoy is Jim Collins. He wrote a book, Good to Great. And in it, there is a model that he talks about called the Hedgehog Principle. And it's three circles and where they overlap and meet in the middle. That's your Hedgehog Principle. And the very nature of the hedgehog is that he's slow and persistent and methodical, and he goes forward very deliberately in the right direction. Now, what those three circles represent, the first one is something you absolutely love. You're super passionate about it. The second thing is something that you can be good at it. You don't have to be super skilled right now. It might be a new skill that you're learning. You can go get training and you can be really good at it. And the third component is you have to be able to make some good money with it. So you marry those three components, something you love, something you're good at, and something you can make money at, and then be persistent and patient and keep at it and do something every day to move towards your goals for your business. And I think that's really the key determining factor with people that make just, you know, a little bit of money or hardly any money, and the people that make some serious money on the internet.
That's perfect. Persistence and taking action. I'm going to just change the topic. You know, I started this project because when I was going around to the internet conferences, I didn't really see many women there. Do you think that there's a reason why women aren't represented on the stage, or maybe they just don't participate and do very much internet marketing? Or possibly more of them are doing social media than the internet marketing per se by doing email lists. What do you have some thoughts on that?
Yeah, I do. I do, and we are right in the midst of a change. It's very exciting. It's very exciting for women and for men too. And I think that the internet marketing world has been very much male dominated, or even just if we say masculine dominated, because it's typically been a little more aggressive, that people put up a sales page, and there's all kinds of different methodologies that people use to, you know, limitations and you know, buy now or you'll lose forever, those kind of tactics.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the thing is that they do work for a certain cross-section of the marketplace. But this shift that we're in right now is a little bit more towards the more feminine side, if you will, relationship side, and I think that's why with social media you're seeing a lot more women starting to step up to the plate and really to get known, to be known as experts in this area, because even the consumers themselves, and we are consumers as well, but consumers or the marketplace are getting smarter, they're getting sharper. They know that they don't have to, you know, buy right now this minute if they don't want to. They can go and do a little more research. They can go and find out more information about, we were talking about this whole piece about intimacy and bonding and having more rapport. They might want to go and find someone that they just have a better resonance with. And so there's this shift, actually. What I call it is, if you can imagine, there's traditional internet marketing, which both men and women are in, and it's a little more male-dominated or masculine energy, if you will. And then there's social media marketing, and the emphasis is on relationships, on listening, on delivering value and giving information away for free, things like that, and being available. That's one thing too. It does take a little more time, and so just being available to your marketplace. Now, there are certain individuals, both men and women, who play what I call, they have a foot in both camps. They're able to be good internet marketers and good social marketers, social media marketers. If you do too much socializing on the social networks, you won't make much money. If you do too much traditional internet marketing, you maybe make some money, but you might alienate a whole cross-section of the marketplace who are looking to really have more of a relationship with you. So it's important to do both. And so I think we're starting to see more men embrace the social media technologies and be more available and be more relational and conversational. And then we're also starting to see more and more women actually stepping up on the platform too. I'm very fortunate to be doing quite a number of speaking engagements myself this fall, including with Alexandra Brown, formerly the Evening Queen, and she's been one of my mentors for years, and very, very blessed to be one of her guest speakers at her upcoming workshop.
Well, that will be fantastic.
Yeah.
If I were to, I'm sure that our listeners would love to get in touch with you, and where would you recommend that they get a hold of you or find out more about you?
And how would you tell us where to start?
Okay, sure. Many different ways that you can reach me. My contact information is all on marismith.com. That's M-A-R-I-S-M-I-T-H, marismith.com. Or I'm also at Why Facebook is my Facebook blog, W-H-Y, Facebook.com. My service is at facebookcoach.com. That's another way. They can find me on Facebook. It's Mari Smith or Twitter. MariSmith.com. Where to get started? If people they do not yet have a Facebook account, I highly recommend going to Facebook.com and signing up for an account, adding some information, putting in some links. There's a way to import your blog feed, things like that, and then start to add friends. Facebook are really insistent. They have a wizard that they want you to add lots and lots of friends, or at least import your address book. I remember we were saying just cautiously, don't be adding too many at once. But when you first get started, they want you to upload your address book. And I usually recommend just wait, set aside about 45 minutes and upload some content. Fill out your about me, your information, your web links. Then you can go ahead and upload your address book. That's not necessarily your list. You might want to email your list, your regular opt-in list, and say, okay, now I'm on Facebook. Come over and send me a friend request. Here's my link. Actually, I do recommend, too, if you know how, is to go ahead and set up a redirect. Like, to find me on Facebook, my site is marismith.com/Facebook, and that just redirects to my actual Facebook profile. People are welcome to connect with me there. And then I have my page. We talked about a fan page. That's at marismith.com/fan page. And those are just simple ways. There's many different ways that you can reach me, in fact, and I do have a lot of information about my products and services on my main site at marismith.com.
Wow, that's great. So many things to learn. Even just now you added more things. I'm like, oh, I don't know how to do that.
right.
Well, I really want to thank you today for coming and speaking with us and teaching us so much. I'm sure that for many of us, this is a whole new area and something that we can explore, and you would be the perfect mentor to work with. So I am sure you'll get lots of people who will be contacting you, and I just know you're going to help them out the best you can because you're so good at that, and you're such a friendly, lively, energetic person. It's just so much fun and brings me a lot of joy to be around you, and I'm so glad we met.
Well, likewise, right back at you, as they say. Thank you so much. I just love your energy. It's a delight to meet you and your husband, too, Eugene. And I know I really enjoyed connecting with you, too, and I look forward to next time we get to meet.
Okay. Well, great, Mari. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.